to the latest Kings of Anglia podcast. The boys are back in town, or the boy is back in town. Hutchie Warren back with us after a week away, eating Polish sausage in Warsaw. How did it go? How are you?
Didn't actually have that much sausage, if I'm honest. There's other delicacies that I enjoyed, but pure sausage, not so much.
Not for you. How are you, alright?
Yeah, good, thank you.
You're not, actually. You look tired and you look like you've run down.
I need to apologise. I've got a cough.
Yeah.
I'm going to direct it under the table when this happens, because it's not good on a podcast.
Also, as ever, the man, Steve, Dr. Stuart Watson's more at hand as ever. Stu, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, yeah.
Superb.
Have those nicknames not run their course? Are we still sticking with those? Are we just adding layers to them as we go along?
Hutchie and Steve are what you referred to as now on all official correspondence.
I went to the club, I was waiting in club reception the other day, and a gentleman came over and said hello. He worked in the IT department, so hello to you. He said he listened to the podcast, and he said, you're Stuart, aren't you? And the receptionist just piped up in the background, no, Steve.
See? So, what do you mean? These are now established names for you both, and I'm going to continue to refer to them. Luckily, I haven't got one, have I? I'm still Mark, or someone called me Hampstead.
I like Hampstead.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You haven't really embraced that.
No, Stephen Hutch. It's the way forward. Boys, it's been 2 weeks since we all sat down and had a good old chin wag. What have you been up to? Hutch, first of all, fill us in on your Polish break.
Been up.
How was it?
Yeah, up Poland.
Yeah.
Very, very cold. -7.
Ooh. Did you wear a coat?
At times.
Yeah. And a hat?
At times.
Yes.
Yeah. I also wore my gloves, which are made of Icelandic sheep wool, which I got from our honeymoon in Iceland.
Effective?
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Daughter didn't sleep for the whole week. So pretty knackering, but a lovely city, good energy.
Was she just too excited to be in Poland?
Not sure excited was the word, but yeah, she was enthusiastic about night time.
I've often wondered this, when you take a baby, is she still technically a baby, young Jessica?
Is she
a toddler? You stop being a baby, start being a toddler? I don't know.
She's a baby.
When you take a baby on a plane, do you sedate it? How's it work? Because there's nothing more annoying as a passenger than being on a plane with a baby screaming its head off.
I tell you, there is something more annoying than being a passenger on a plane with a baby screaming its head off. It's when your baby is being good as gold, sleeping, and there's a woman behind who just shouts the whole way at her own child. Her kids were great. But
why did she shout at it?
Because she was an angry woman.
You can't sedate babies, though. That's officially right.
It's not cowpole's always an option.
Yeah.
No, same? Full-on sedation, though. It's echoey in here.
It is, isn't it?
This isn't great sound quality, is it?
No.
We've done one in here before, it was fine.
Yeah. Was it?
I'm afraid the official studio, for those of you listening, the official studio is out of use because there's a man in there sitting on the phone, very selfishly. He's got his own phone, so I don't know why he's sitting in there to carry out conversations. Stewie, what have you been up to? Probably nothing because you're dull.
Yeah, that's me, mate. That's me.
You missed last week's Stu described himself as a fun sponge.
I didn't miss last week's, actually. I listened to it. At 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Walking round the streets of Warsaw, trying to get her to sleep. So I did listen. And Stu is not a fun sponge.
That's what he called himself.
He loves fun.
How are you, Stu? How's your boiler?
No one cares about my boiler.
They do care about the boiler.
No, they don't. They really don't.
I had an email this week from someone saying they love your boiler chat.
No,
so.
They don't.
Okay, so aside from the boiler, what else have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I've been to Aston Villa and back. I've been into the office on Sunday. I'm back in here on Monday morning. Thinking and talking a lot about Ipswich Town and looking forward to a couple of days off after today.
You had a big week last week, didn't you?
We've been working on some nice stuff, keep an eye out on the websites, that's all I'll say.
Definitely keep an eye out on the websites in the next couple of days. Some big teams coming your way from none other than the Dr. Steve Watson.
I think Ipswich Town are the fun sponge.
Yeah.
Like, the away trip's just a sapping my enthusiasm for life at times.
Yeah.
It's not Stu.
Okay. Before we move on to the fun sponge style football, I think it's important, boys. Is that officially your catch up done, is it, Stu?
That's me done, yeah.
Good. Excellent. I think it's important. Lambo last week talking very much about how we're still in the fight, Guru giving it some, getting very fighty. I think we should have an official, obviously, you know, fighting's my thing, we should have an official Kings of Anglia fighter that we all follow. And I found just a chap.
What?
Yes? Do you want to know more about him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. So first of all, he's very good. He's just been fighting in one championship in Asia. His name, get this, is Brown Penis.
What?
Yes, his name is Brown Penis. I like watching penis in action, I don't mind saying. He lost his debut on one championship. Google it now if you don't believe me.
My phone's being used to record this.
Excellent. Spell this out. First name Brown, as in the colour. Second name Penis.
That is a company phone that you're using there, Stu.
Yeah. What? Spell it right. Brown. Penis.
P-I-N-A-S.
Penis. Brown Penis. If you look at my Twitter feed, actually, you can see I retweeted some penis action the other day. He scored a fantastic spinning elbow knockout. Hutchie, I know you're a big fan of the spinning stuff.
Yeah.
Penis does that very well. What do you reckon? Official Kings
of Anglia. Is that how you pronounce it? Or is it Peanut? Is it Pinar?
No, it's Brown Penis, mate. Obviously, P-I-N-A-S.
But he's not very good.
He's alright.
You said he lost.
He lost his debut at MMA. He's very good at Muay Thai. Are you rejecting Penis?
If I'm going to follow a fighter, I want to follow someone that's really good. Or the fighter that I follow is a man called Sid Razak.
Right.
Who has he's a boxer who has fought over 300 matches and won once. I follow him.
Classic journeyman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good lad.
So officially, you're not liking my suggestion.
Let us follow him. Give us an update.
When's he out next?
I don't know, he's just fought, like I say, not too long ago on the One Championship, so I'm assuming he'll be out again soon. But
is that a big deal in the world of fighting?
One Championship is like the biggest promotion in Asia. They've just signed some really big names from the UFC. Eddie Alvarez, do you know that name?
Yep.
Eddie Alvarez fought McGregor.
Sage Northcutt?
Yes, and also Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah, the muscle hamster.
No. Demetrius
Mighty Johnson. Mouse.
Mighty House, there you go.
Yeah, that's it.
Got the nicknames. Yeah, so I think I'll put it forward to the house. Brown Penis from now on is the Kings of Anglia sponsored fighter. Stewie, just one more thing to bring ask listeners for before we go on to the fun sponge football. You're looking for a new whip. And when I say whip, for those of you who aren't urbanly inclined like myself, that means car.
Mm.
I assume Porsche 4x4, Audi, something like that.
Yeah, if there's any garages listening. Yeah. I will plug you on here shamelessly and on Twitter.
We've got, of course, Jax Larder, who's official chef of the show. So if there's a mechanic out there or a garage that wants to get involved and give Stewie some advice / free car,
we'd go for that. Yeah, I'll drive it around with logos all over the side, all around Ipswich.
Yeah. And then you can advertise it, the car driven by Steve Watson.
Mm.
The Asian market's good for cars.
Yeah.
You've got your Hondas. Yeah, Hyundai. I used to have a Hyundai. Very, very good. I'd recommend Asian cars.
Right.
Honda are decent.
Okay.
Honda. I've always liked Honda. Particularly Street Fighter. My favourite fighter was Eddie Honda. E-Honda. So,
100 hand slap.
But yeah, any advice you can offer, Stu? You're looking something in the SUV kind of range, aren't you, Stu?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that.
Young family looking to expand?
Mm.
Natural choice.
Mm.
Natural choice. Anyway, I can see that both of you are tiring of this general banter, so let's move on to something thoroughly depressing, the football. Who could have seen that coming? Town going to Villa and losing. Well, I suppose, to be honest, they couldn't have seen Town losing 2-1, 2-0 is normally the scoreline, and that looked to be the way it was going to go. Gentlemen, your thoughts. Ipswich Town lost 2-1 at Aston Villa.
They did. You're right, the positive was that once it went to 2-0, it wasn't the usual story of game over and the game peters out. They put up a very nice spirited fight back, didn't they, Andy, towards the end. We'll get onto the sort of penalty incidents at both boxes shortly, but Ipswich could have had a penalty at 2-0. Freddie sticks one in the top corner, hell of a strike, 25 yards. Shalabar hits the post, and they can take a lot of heart from the way they finished that game.
They can. They don't need heart now, though, do they? That's the sad thing. If they're going to do anything, they need the points. And they didn't come. And you can point to the refereeing decisions, but you could also point to Villa missing. How many shots? I think you You saw this
23 shots. I think Bart's made 11 saves. You can take stats. I was looking at the stats of this game yesterday. I get deep in the stats game on a Sunday from various different websites. You can, as always, you can kind of take whichever ones you want to fit your narrative. Ipswich, I think, completed, in terms of completed passes, only Leeds and Norwich had more over the weekend. They had the best pass accuracy from the entire championship, a reduced fixtures list obviously because of the FA Cup. So they're passing the ball a lot better under Lambert. We know that that's the style of football under him. And they can be quite easy on the eye in patches. But ultimately, you're right, that overlooks the fact that Villa battered them for long spells. Loads of shots, Bart's making loads of saves. They could have been out of sight at half-time, couldn't they?
It's in patches, both in terms of time periods and areas of the pitch, isn't it? I'm sure this passing out from the back, that improves the pass completion accuracy, because from a goal kick, that's one completed pass guaranteed straight to Chambers or Collins, generally another one, sometimes back to the goalkeeper, sometimes across, so... Yeah, that's a patch. But yeah, there was one move, wasn't there, where there was like 25 odd passes, which didn't produce any kind of shot at the end, sadly. But they moved it into a good area, but lacked the kind of clinical edge that they needed at the end. But yeah, the spirit was there. They didn't give up. Colin Quayner made a really good impact off the bench, and there were some refereeing decisions that went the wrong way. They were bad refereeing decisions, but. It's all amounted to zero.
The points. Penalty given against Judge, which I saw that you did a fantastic reconstruction of, crime scene style, on Facebook after the game, the Facebook Live video. Go and watch that now if you've not seen it. That was a joke, wasn't it? How was that a penalty?
If you ask Aston Villa fans behind that goal, they will tell you that Alan Judge had John McGinn round the throat or round the neck of the collar of his shirt. And that's what Dean Smith said as well, isn't it? But... if you look at the replay, he's just flung himself across Judge. Maybe not the greatest of positioning, kind of easing McGinn round the corner. He's just hurled himself at the ball and got nowhere near.
It looks to me that Judge has seen the ball's going to go over their head. He's turned into run onto the ball. And then McGinn, like I say, just hurls himself.
Kind of. He's left his arm out a little bit, which I guess the referee would have seen and thought. But McGinn, he's just chucked himself at a ball he was never going to reach, and... penalty.
And how about the Quayner one at the other end? I've seen him given trailing hand. Certainly on live speed, it looked a penalty to me.
Watching it back, it looks like he's overcooked his slide, and then the ball hits his sort of trailing arm. But looking at our photographer's still frames, kind of hits him. The ball appears to hit him. And this still isn't conclusive, on his elbow that's kind of tucked into his body. That's at the moment of impact. And then his arm goes out behind him. It all happened very quickly. I'm not as convinced by that one. Like you say, you've seen them given. If it's you, you're desperate for it. You know, you feel absolutely it's 100% for you. I think if it's against you, you wouldn't be so sure. So... I don't know. Yeah, Andy's more convinced by that one than I am.
I am a bit more. But I think it stems from the fact I don't really know the handball rule, and I don't think anybody does anymore. Confused. A motion towards the ball, was it intentional? It's never intentional. Unless you're Christophe Bearer on the line.
His hand blocks the ball.
That for me, his arm blocked the ball.
Yeah.
For me, it was, I think. But
And Hutchie, give us a little insight, peek behind the curtain, KOA podcast style. You were in the mix zone, as I understand it, when a very angry Lambo came by you.
Oh yeah, well, that story starts where Stu was up in the press conference.
Take it away, Stu.
Should we tag team this?
Okay, so the manager gets brought up to a press room to do his press conference, and I've never seen Paul Lambert as animated as he was. He came in and he was just incredulous about it all. He'd gone slightly high-pitched. He just kept repeating himself, incredible, absolutely incredible. You know, I said, well, I haven't seen one of them back, Paul. Stu, I've seen it back. I've played the game. I can't believe it. You know, he was a bit like that. He was drenched through, by the way. We talk about Andy not wearing a coat. Paul Lambert still refuses to wear a coat. It hammered down with rain the whole game.
Kindred spirits we have.
He just had a little white t-shirt with his thin black v-neck jumper
Hugo
over
Boss.
The top.
Is this because he's a half man, or is he trying to inspire people by?
Well, he arrived with a coat on because I saw the Ipswich Town social media page where they have the video of them arriving in the tunnel, and he had this big puffer jacket on, but then he decides not to wear it. So it's obviously trying to project a bit of an image that, you know, I'm out there with you and suffering. Sort
he's
of
jumping
thing.
Around though, isn't he? You like, you don't want to be wearing a big puffer jacket.
If
when
he keeps quite warm if he's acting on the sideline, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
I reckon the shirt, the undershirt, may be a little sweaty by the end of games.
So anyway, Stuart.
Anyway, I digress. Yeah. He said what he has to say. Have you been to see referee Keith Stroud yet? No, I'm going there now. So up he gets, off he storms off, and Andy is down by the tunnel near where all this is about to unfold.
Mm-hmm. So down two flights of stairs. This is with the press officer, who he very clear on the way up, he was talking about these referee decisions with the press officer, clearly talking about them on the way down. Into the mix zone, which is a wonderful setup. It's a room with a rope that I have to stand behind the rope to be separated from.
So you're waiting for a player?
I was waiting for Colin Quayner.
Yeah.
And TalkSport were waiting for Paul Lambert, actually. Mm-hmm. Didn't get the interview that they wanted because he was straight through those doors, turned the air blue a little bit with the worst of the swear words.
Really?
Yeah. And he was off to find that man who I assume was a referee.
What's the worst of the swear words?
I'm not going to say it.
I'm not asking you to say it.
It's the C-bomb, isn't it?
You know.
He's dropping C-bombs, was he?
A solitary
C-bomb.
Bomb. Yeah.
Okay. So that's the angriest you've seen him?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. And he's going to be right to be angry, because let's face it, Town are running out of time now. It's all very well saying that they're in the fight. But they've only got 17 games left. They've just lost two consecutive away games Wednesday this weekend. We just talked very briefly about team selection as well, because Judge again has played wide, wasn't he? Which is
started on the left
wide.
This time, actually.
Yeah.
And Sears was on the right, but they were swapping all game for spells.
And Bielkowski back in goal. I assume Gherkin's not got a sore one. That's just a sticking.
He was fit enough for the bench.
Is that how the keeper thing's going to go now? Kind of one in, one week, one in the other.
I think he's got to stick from here on in. That's got to be it now for me.
Bart looked a bit flappy again, though, didn't he? He was sort of having trouble with his handling.
Yeah, I don't know about flappy. He spilt a few. It's really hard to judge Bart's performance because he did a lot. You know, he's made 11 saves, but I would say they were a mixed bag. The one at the end to deny Abraham his hat trick was outstanding. Bart evolved, saved with his legs after a lovely dummy by El Mohammadi, I think it was in the box. So that was the best of his saves. There was a few sort of solid stops from sort of shots from outside the box, but ones that you would expect him to make. And then there were a few that were a bit. He spilt a few, didn't he? That you thought.
Yeah.
Okay, he's not gonna hold on to the ball, but he's pushing them back into difficult areas. And Adoma scored a rebound, and he was saved by the offside flag. There was a couple of others where the ball could have gone anywhere, and fortunately for him, there was an Ipswich defender there first. So, a mixed bag from Bart on his return to the team, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. But even still, I think you just need to settle on a goalkeeper now and go for this with the players that you think are the best ones. And look, Dean Gherkin has done an admirable job whenever he's called upon, but I think we all know that Bartosz Bielkowski is the better of the two goalkeepers. And for me, I would just want to see some consistency there now, because you can't. How many times Bart's been dropped once, twice. Gherkin's now been dropped twice. You can't keep doing that. You got to stick.
Well, especially in a situation, a position like that's so key on confidence, isn't it? Being a keeper, having kind of the backing of your manager and your team. Just before we move on from the game, other notes. Obviously, Town went 2-0 down, and I assumed that was going to be the final score. But no, they showed fight. Freddie Sears scored an absolute worldie. The Chalabar experience hit the woodwork. And they really went for it, didn't they? Which was pleasing to see. I mean, given kind of capitulating at 2-0 has kind of been their modus operandi so far this season.
Yeah, Quayner gave them a new kind of outlet as a striker. He looked much better, didn't he? So that's the player that we thought we were going to see.
Yeah.
Gave them something new, a channel runner, a physical presence. Yeah, much better.
He was really fired up when he came on. I mean, here's a man that had less than 40 minutes game time for Huddersfield this season, a couple of cameos off the bench. Mm. He's come to Ipswich. He started two games, but hasn't really set the world alight in those two games. Then he's dropped to the bench and he's probably thinking, hang about, I started the season as a Premier League player and I'm now on the bench for a team bottom of the Championship. And he came on and he looked like he had some real fire in his belly. He came on just after the hour mark. Direct replacement for Will Keane. The formation changed slightly. Lambert started 4-3-3 during his Ipswich reign. Then he'd gone to 4-2-3-1 to kind of accommodate Keane playing just off of Quaynor. Mm-hmm. This was back to 4-3-3 again with three proper midfielders, and Keane led the line, fed off scraps, didn't he, really, in the first half. Mm-hmm. Couldn't really make it stick, balls being pinged into head, chest. Quaynor replaces him, direct replacement, and he looked good. Yeah, he looked really good. The penalty incident came from him latching onto a lovely Downs ball over the top. Freddie Sears' goal came from him latching onto a ball over the top, holding it up in the channel, working it back across the penalty box. So he was definitely a plus.
Frustratingly, though, he was stripped, ready to come on when the judge penalty was given away. It'd been interesting to see what would happen if he'd been able to get on the pitch, give Ipswich that extra in the final third while they're only 1-0 down. But he came on literally after the ball had been rolled into the net from the penalty, sadly.
Okay. Any further notes before we move on from the game? Anything else to mention?
I think it's fair to say we both agree that Keane's looked better in the more withdrawn role than he did as the central striker.
I like Keane. I do like him, but I think the lone furrow role is not quite him.
Judge for me, and this is, we're back to the issue of trying to shoehorn in Lambert's mind, all his best players into the team. He looks like his best work will come on the inside. He naturally wants to drift in all of the time, doesn't he? And that can sometimes leave Ipswich understaffed down the flanks.
Yeah, but I think you have to give a bit of credit to Miles Kenlock there. He was left exposed.
I was going to say Kenlock, we should mention him as well. Judge
wants to drift inside. That's his game. You know what player you've got. He's not going to beat a fullback on the outside. He's coming inside, but that does leave Kenlock a little exposed, and but he did well. I thought he stood his ground. He never seems to let Ipswich down when he plays.
Some very assured touches of the ball. Yes, there was a couple of shaky moments, but overall, I thought thought decent from Miles.
He can get a little bit overpowered physically sometimes. If there's a more physical winger out there, he can get bumped and lose out that in that battle. But in terms of getting forward, he offers a bit more, I think, than others. Mm. And he linked up well with Judge when Judge was inside.
Mm. Chalabar was more advanced. Skews kind of sat, and then you had Chalabar and Downs just in front of them. I know people have gone, well, we're back to three holding midfielders. I wouldn't describe Downs, Chalabar, Skews as three holding midfielders. Skews sits deep, but Downs and Chalabar are given a bit more licence. Chalabar in particular to be more advanced up the pitch, and I think he looks far better there than he does sitting in front of the back four. I think he can cost you with some of his overplaying deep at times. That he was the driving force in midfield, and yes, he gave away the soft free kick which led to the early goal, and he's still got that naiveness about him at times, but I thought he was far better. He was a driving force in midfield. At least he tried to set off from runs and make things happen, didn't he?
Yep, definitely.
Okay, let's draw a line to that then. Defeat, another defeat. Encouraging signs, like perhaps Sheffield Wednesday this weekend. We'll come on to that towards the end of the podcast. But before we get on to Mailbag, and we've got loads of questions this week, so I want to get on to that and do all of those. Let's just go back a little bit. Two things from last week that we've not had a chance to talk about. First of all, Hutchie, you went to see Mr. Lambert before you went off on holiday. He gave you that letter to the fans.
Yep.
How was he in person? Kind of away from the kind of game cycle. Was he personable?
Oh nice bloke.
And you struck a deal for him to give you the watch, I understand.
That's signed up on our walls. So
that's legally binding. If Town do go down, obviously they won't, but if they do, you're going to get his lovely Bang.
His Hublot Big Bang watch, every cloud.
Yeah. We'll tweet that out, actually, just so it makes that officially legally binding.
The handwriting on the letter is a bit different to the signature.
It looks suspiciously like your handwriting, Andy. It was almost like
It's so, not, I can guarantee it's not.
It's almost like we've got a blank piece of headed Ipswich Town notepaper that Paul Lambert has signed, shall we say, for photographic purposes, and somebody has added that statement to it subsequently.
Very, very, very suspicious. I don't know. Very cynical, if you don't mind me saying.
So,
well, are you saying that he wouldn't give Hutchie a 20 grand watch just for going down?
I'm not saying that, because we know that Paul Lambert is a very generous guy. He's paying for coach travel up to Blackburn. He's there was footage of him coming and giving Miles Kenlock's shirt to a young fan after the game at the weekend. I don't know if that generosity stretches to him giving Andy a 20 grand watch. No.
Well, if you haven't noticed, gents, he's actually stopped wearing said watch, hasn't he? He's moved on to another one from his collection. And I think that can only be because he doesn't want to scratch it, in case he does have to give it away.
I found another watch that I want, though.
Do tell.
It costs £65.
65 quid?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a Lacoste watch.
Okay, well, I'm sure we can spring to that.
I think that's more my level.
Yeah. And also, we should mention, obviously, last Wednesday, the big boss man, the big cheese, the big kahuna, Marcus Evans, did another interview with the club. Put out. Someone's phone's going.
It's me, don't worry.
Put out an interview again through the club. Not a lot of new stuff, it has to be said, but the two lines that stood out for me is obviously him saying the club's not for sale, nor does he want to sell, and also saying he had no regrets about appointing old Hollywood Hurst, ghost of Christmas past, but does regret the what he described unbalanced transfer dealings, which he blamed for the situation the town find themselves in. Any thoughts on that, boys, before we move on, the Evans stuff?
I probably haven't read this in as much detail as you guys did. I was busy eating.
You were in Warsaw. Yeah.
It's nothing drastically new to what he said in the past, really, in terms of, I guess, the new line was sort of talking about the Hurst era for the first time, and that felt that there was too much done too soon under Paul Hurst, and that I'm sure if Paul Hurst had his time again, he would say the same. But yeah, it'd be interesting to hear a little more from him, I would think.
It would be interesting. Anyway.
I wonder.
If only, eh? Without further ado, Hutchie, before you go into mailbag, let's do the important question.
Mark's big question.
So last week, just for the sake of dotting the I's and crossing the T's, the question was favourite childhood toy. Your answer would have been?
My scarecrow that my mum knitted for me.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? You said a Super Nintendo, I said a Mega Drive.
Yeah, my mum knitted me a scarecrow. Do you want a proper answer to this?
Go for it.
She knitted me a scarecrow, went everywhere with me. She also knitted a backup scarecrow in case.
Did he have a name?
Scarecrow.
Obvious.
Had a little mouse in his head. He went everywhere with me.
Have you still got him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not only have I still got him, she's knitted one for Jessica.
That is nice. So, that's a nice touch.
Yeah.
Hutchie, if you could pick a question between 1 and 34, obviously some of them have been taken, but I don't want to take them out because I'm like that.
In honour of Stuart Watson, I pick number 34.
34. Oh, now this is interesting. Stuart's peeking at the questions there. Can half and half scarves ever be justified?
No, move on.
Can they not? Even if it's, say, I don't know...
They can if it's Bishop Stortford against Arsenal.
Exactly. That's the only way I consider them justified. It's part of the souvenir of the game, the memorabilia.
But they must not ever exist for league games. They must never have managers on them. Basically, please don't do them, but if you do have to...
I think they can be justified for the games that you mentioned there. Yeah. You've got Minnow against the Giant. You know, are you saying no to that?
Yeah, they're just not for me. If you have travelled across the globe to watch a one-off game as a football tourist and it's a memento of your big day, I can kind of just about see that, but... Just buy a program or something to, you know. I just, why do you want both teams on a scarf?
When did they start, by the way? When did they? I can't remember them. When I was a kid, that would never have been done. Was it just one of these big money?
I saw one on Twitter the other day that was. They did it just for like the Arsenal Man United League game, and then they had. They didn't even, they just had like AFC on it. You can just tell that they're not even made by people that know anything about.
They're not official products, so the logos on them are awful.
Mm.
Apparently they're recycled, because clearly they don't sell all of them.
No.
So they just put them all back into a, I don't know what they do.
Pulper.
Pulper and start again for the next one. They're just all wrong for me.
Someone put, I don't know what game it was, there was a half and half mug. Someone had done as well.
Stop it. Come on, that's too much.
If Capcom, in League, I can handle them for things like Minnow against Giant.
How about international games like England, France or something? You see them on sale, no?
No.
Okay, I think I'm inclined to agree. Let us know, Kings of Anger Army, what you think of half and half scarves. Can they ever be justified? And let's move on to the Series 40 questions. We put the appeal out last night because we're recording this a bit earlier than normal. We had quite a few last night. The first one I got was from a very big fan of yours, both of you, Harry Butcher, Hurricane Hazza on Twitter. Just please tell Andy Hutch Warren and Dr. Stewie Watson what a fantastic job they do.
Oh, thank you, Harry.
That's nice, isn't it? So I replied, what about me?
Mm.
And he replied, you don't do a bad job, Mark.
Oh, so praise for all of us.
Praise indeed. So you get...
I don't think you do a bad job either.
You get a fantastic job. I get don't do a bad job. Well, as I said to Harry, I'm going to put that on my CV. That's probably the highest praise I've ever been paid to myself.
And gravestone. Didn't do a bad job.
Didn't do a bad job. Not good, not bad, just mediocre.
Yep.
Anyway, on to the questions. Mr. G, Mr. McBear on Twitter. Seeing as we're likely to go down... What do you think our bounce back ability is going to look like next season?
Mm. Bounce back ability. That made it into the dictionary.
Ian Holloway, wasn't it? First one that.
Was it Ian Dowie?
It might have been Dowie, actually.
It was Ian Dowie.
I'm going to Google it while you answer that
bounce
question.
Bounce back ability.
That should not be a challenge.
It was.
Was it?
Yeah, people were singing that.
That can go in the bin with half and half scarves as well.
Get in the sea.
What are you saying?
What is Ipswich Town's bounce back ability? I think it's greater now that. The plan starts now with Paul Lambert. They're likely to have one of the bigger budgets in the league. Last season, all three teams, for the first time in quite some time, the three relegated teams all came back from League One. Blackburn, Rotherham and Wigan. They should be up there, you would think. It's not guaranteed, though.
No, far from guaranteed. We've gone through it before for all the success stories of teams that have bounced back. Norwich and Southampton are always held up as the prime examples because they have back-to-back relegations, back-to-back promotions after going down to League One. But for every one of those clubs, there's probably three or four examples of big clubs that have got stuck in that division for a long time. Leeds took some time to get out of it. Both Sheffield clubs, Leicester,
Forest.
Yeah, the list goes on. But Andy's right. Last year, the three came up. Maybe the financial landscape has changed. That there's so much more money in the Championship now that the wage bill will be very competitive. I think the top end of League One is about 12 million wage bill. Ipswich is at the last set of accounts was best part of 17. So that will obviously drop. Massively, but they will still be at top end of that league for budget, I would have thought.
Breaking news, it was indeed Ian Dowie.
Yes.
Coined the word bounce back ability in the 2003-04 season when describing how his Crystal Palace team had gone from the fringes of relegation in December to winning promotion through the playoffs in May. Good. We've settled that. Next question. Ian, ITFC Ian on Twitter. It was tough to take yesterday. All the big decisions went against us. Shoots of recovery are there. Alas, too late. I can see us picking up points later in the season when already down. More of a statement than a question. Agree with that?
Yeah, I've been pretty clear in that I think it's too late now. Call me defeatist if you like, but I just think it was always going to take a few weeks to get all these new players up to speed. We've seen that. They got through the Rotherham game, I thought, largely on adrenaline. Tailed off badly for the Blackburn game and the Villa game. If you went into it kind of with very low expectations of a result, which we should do really, looking at that Villa squad is ridiculous. No Grealish, no who's the Man United centre back on loan? Twinzabi. They got various players out, and the squad they still put out is utterly ridiculous. That there's no way they should be where they are on the table. So if you kind of went there expecting the worst and you just looked at the performance, I thought it was a step in the right direction, that Lambert's identity is starting to bed in, that some of the new players are slowly getting up to speed. I thought there was a little bit of signs of progress there. And for me, that's why I've kind of said, forget about the relegation fight in many ways. If that is to transpire, then that would be a nice little surprise. But kind of park that to one side and just look at these next 17 games as developmental, almost like an extended pre-season. Let's just see the style of play evolving. Let's see some players getting some match fitness. Let's see Lambert really starting to get his ideas embedded into this team. And I thought Saturday's game was a step in the right direction for that.
My gut feeling, to the point from the question about winning games once relegation's confirmed, my gut feeling is that they're going to stay at this. The form will be such that there is still at this 6-7 point gap mark for much of the season. They'll win one week and close it to 4, they'll lose the next, it'll go back to 7, which means they won't actually, they're not going to be relegated in March, I don't think. I think this is going to be, if it's still 7 points, they're still in this with 3 games to go. That's my gut feeling, is that they'll never quite get the run of form going to close that gap and still pick up the odd win to just keep it as it is and never really make inroads.
The galling thing is that this will probably be one of the lowest points totals in recent history that is going to be required to stay up, because everyone else down the bottom is just as poor as Ipswich. They're not, the run of form amongst Rotherham and Bolton and Reading and Wigan, and Millwall may even now have a bit of an FA Cup distraction going on after their victory, so nobody's getting away. And that's what makes it all the more galling, because for me, if I'm being completely honest, I think it's Ipswich, Bolton plus one other. That's the way I see it at the moment.
I'm a bit worried about Reading. I think Reading might take this all, take any chance away from Ipswich from here, just by putting something together with the money that they've spent in the last few years.
Positive noises coming from them under the new manager, and they've made 6 signings just like Ipswich. Nelson Oliveira, one of them.
Chaps, boys, we have, I'd have to say, probably the most questions we ever had on Mailbag, so as host I'm going to have to insist on more concise answers going forward, and also you take one each, otherwise we'll be sitting in here still at 2 o'clock, and Stu, you've got a lot of work to do, Andy, you're going to see the under 23s. So quickly, Harvey Davis at Harvey Davis 5 on Twitter: which of the Town players out of contract in the summer will not be offered new deals by the club? Huge hot take, but I have a horrible feeling Chambers might leave and still fancy himself in the Championship.
Andy?
We've talked about Chambers a lot. I think he will still fancy himself in the Championship. Whether that means he leaves or not, I don't know.
He just fancies himself, let's be honest.
He definitely will think that he's got years left in him, and he's played a lot of games in the second tier of English football. He'll fancy himself, but whether he sees Ipswich, in League One as his chance to put some things right and stay here, probably not even his decision to do that. I'd be surprised if he just left, I'll be honest.
We did a poll last week, had over 17,000 total votes, and the likes, unsurprisingly, the likes of Jordan Spence, Tom Adeyemi, Grant Ward, Dean Gherkin, all fans saying they'd rather go than be offered a new deal, and then obviously the likes of Ken Lock, Luke Wolfenden was overwhelmingly the favourite to be offered a new deal, Chambers, and
Most of them are pretty obvious, I think. Yeah. You can see Spence, Knudsen will go, Bishop, I think, they'll probably find a way to get a new deal for him. But Chambers is the one that's very much up in the air. I find it very hard to call at the moment. For all the positive noises Lambert's making, he might just decide he wants to, if he really wants to put his own stamp on things, that would be the ultimate, big change in the summer. I can't call which way that's going to go.
Trevor Wallace: as Emmanuel is back at the club and Lambo's taking a look at him, do you think we'll see him play at right back in the coming games? Would he offer more than Pennington in that position?
My gut feeling is I don't think we will see him play at right back.
Good.
Not for a few weeks yet anyway. Pennington's been alright. I think he's a centre back at right back, but he's been pretty good.
Richard J. Terry Le Tracteur on Twitter, I like that, Richard. Given results, this is something that I often opine in the office, given results aren't improving under Lambert, are we right to trust the future of the club to him? The elephant in the room, the uncomfortable truth, that Lambert's record isn't really that good.
He's now had exactly the same number of games as Paul Hurst, and the records are virtually identical. both got 9 points, both went out the cup to lower league opposition. The goals for and against are virtually the same as well. I don't think you can judge Paul Lambert just yet. On, you know, he's had 3 games with his new signings. He's completely tried to sort of change the style of play. He's trying to do a lot of quick fixes at the moment. Far too early to be making that comparison yet for me.
Mm. Andy Nicholson, any more rumours of ins and outs before transfer deadline? Obviously, the transfer window slams shut on Thursday. Or is that a lot for the running? Does Lambert start to plan for League One using the players he wants to keep for next season? And then he says, I think that's enough because he's been greedy with 3 questions there. So, transfers, are we expecting any more business before midnight Thursday?
Wouldn't be a shock. I don't know if it's midnight or 5 o'clock.
We should probably find out.
That might change our working hours.
Indeed.
Wouldn't shock me if they did one more. I think they need a right back still. But it's difficult because they're not going to want to loan somebody in.
Okay.
There are no free agents out there.
Time will tell. Blue Soap, should we be afraid about the Derby game on the 10th, Stuart Watson?
Afraid of it?
The one final chance to salvage something from the season.
I think they'll be as concerned about from an Ipswich, but the natural state of a football fan in general is always to fear the worst, I think. Mm. You know, that's just how we are. Ipswich will be thinking, here we go again, going up there, we're going to get embarrassed, an egg on our face. I think a Norwich fan will be thinking the Lambert factor will concern them and all good things have to come to an end at some point. So, we'll see what happens, won't we?
Absolutely. Charlie Baxter, why do you think Judge is being played wide when he said he came to town to play as a number 10? Good question, Charlie.
Because he wants him to be in the team. Lambert wants him to be on the pitch.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Quayne wants to play through the middle. Keane wants to be through the middle. We wanted three more tenacious midfielders, shall we say, at Villa at the weekend. That's why.
Trevor Wallace, what's the story with Knudsen? He's dropped from the team, has expressed he wanted to leave, but it's now 4 days out from the change of the transfer window. Is he going or staying? And Stuart, you talked about this a little bit on the video on Friday on Facebook Live. If he's staying, should he be in the team?
I think if he's here past the end of the January transfer window, I think he's the best left back at the club. It's difficult to put him back in the team given that he's been so clear that he wants to leave, but difficult one.
I can't see any way back for Jonas. Whether he goes or stays, I think there might be some late interest in him. There's clearly a few clubs loitering and interested in him. They'll be trying to eke out the best deal. Mm. They might try and beat the crowd, the rush to get him on a Bosman in the summer on the last day or two of the window. But even if he stays, for me, and this depends what your outlook is. If you think Ipswich has still got a chance of staying up and you think he's your best left back, then you're cutting off your nose to spite your face by not playing him. Because as Andy says, he is their best left back still. Lambert clearly thinks that because he played him every week up until the latest. But for me, I think they're heading for relegation, so you've got to start planning for next year. There's no point in, you know, give Kenlock some games, or if you think you're going to sign Elder, I've got no problem with him playing either. But I can't see a way back.
There are teams that want Jonas. Come on. But this is going to be a bit of brinkmanship right up until the end, I think. And look, even after the deadline goes, could they come to an arrangement where his contract is terminated so he can leave on a free transfer to go somewhere? That's possible as well.
Mm. If he is still here, obviously he should definitely play against Norwich. Yeah. That's my
point.
I've got no doubt that Jonas's character is such that he would give everything for the cause, but even on a very subconscious level, if you think that there's a chance that you're going to get injured and it's going to kill off some dream move for you in the summer, you've lost that 1-3% to your game, then that player shouldn't be playing.
Where are we? The Pin wants to know, and I make the pin. Do you think Paul Lambert overdoes the whole positive vibe thing? Fans aren't thick and can see through this quite quickly.
I think he's in danger of doing that. I have to say Saturday, some of it, you know, in terms of, we've talked about there were undoubtedly lots of positives in terms of possession and passing, but he's in danger of going down, you know, making it sound more than it was. Only one team came here to play, and he got a little bit carried away with some of that, given the amount of chances Villa had.
Mm. Ed Barker, would be interesting to reflect on Marcus Evans' interview and if this assuages, good word Ed, your views slash concerns about his ownership approach. Obviously we have just discussed that. What I think is there needs to be more grilling of Marcus Evans. Maybe that will happen one day. Elder Grizzly, Dr. Watson, no wonder the NHS is screwed.
Yep.
I'd trust you to perform surgery, assuming.
Would you?
Absolutely.
What level of surgery?
Not on me, but other people.
So you're going to entrust somebody
else? I'm
quite
happy with it, yeah.
Would you let me do surgery on you?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
Have those nightmares now of... I've had a friend of mine, Dave's a doctor, and I've regularly had nightmares of like his face coming over me and pulling off, you know, those little face masks they wear and just smiling at me in a dream.
Just as you go to sleep.
Yeah. You can, I'd be petrified if that was you.
If that was me, yeah.
Andy Gray, not the Andy Gray, I assume. Personally, looking forward to going to Peterborough away next season. Which League One ground are you looking forward to visiting most when we do go down?
Not Peterborough.
Not Poshland?
No.
Memories of that 7-1. That's probably the last time I went there.
Oh, God, yeah.
Last time I went there, I got shouted at by the owner of Swindon Town very loudly across the stand. I don't like your end. I don't like you. I'll buy you a beer, but I just don't like you.
Oh.
And that was that.
What? You're very likeable. What have you done to offend him?
Well, he didn't like me.
Your mate Barry Fry, of course, big deal at Peterborough.
Yeah, we can go and smoke cigars pretty much there. That would be nice.
So what about, seriously,
Andy and I, this won't be new to us because we've both covered League One clubs for a number of years prior to this gig. So I've done most of the grounds between us.
I'm a bit disappointed. Wimbledon look like they're going out the bottom end of League One. I've not been there before. I'd really like to. Not going to be able to. I'll be honest, there aren't many grounds in there that I'm ecstatic about. Back going to again.
Okay.
Certainly not Gillingham. That's one of my least favourites.
Oh yeah, I'd agree with that.
Why is that?
Just feel like... apologies to the people of Gillingham, it just feels like a little bit of a depressing place when I've been there before.
Gillingham.
Doesn't sound good.
It's all very boxy. I just don't like it.
Okay.
I haven't got the table in front of me to go through the teams, but no, I'm quite enjoying it. I'm actually, in a strange way, quite looking forward to going to some different places and some different setups. I've got concerns about Wi-Fi.
Space in the press box.
That's a big concern for me.
Space. Tell you where I do like Bradford. I really enjoy going to Bag Parade. That's a nice one.
Top. Ollie Feingold. We've actually already answered this, Ollie, but I'll read it out anyway because we appreciate your input and having you on board. Do you reckon there'll be any incomings, outgoings in the coming days ahead of the closure of the transfer window? Gentlemen, he says. So, I'm not sure who he's referring to. He says gentleman, because neither of you are gentlemen.
I'm less convinced about that than I was a few days ago. I thought a week or so ago they were still searching for one or two more. Lambert's kind of left the door open on that, but I get the sense that might be cooling. Unless the right type of player comes along, I don't think there'll be that big a rush.
We will see. Obviously, follow that live with us on Thursday. Whatever happens, these two will be all over it. Peck and Blue, how horrible is the atmosphere going to be at Carrow Road for the derby, considering it's the return of Lambert and the excessive crowd control plans being put in place? And obviously last week there was a whole list of things that Norwich put out. Town fans aren't going to be able to buy alcohol. There's very strict stipulations about when they've got to be in the ground and what.
It's all very silly, isn't it? I mean,
Has it ever been?
They put a Sheffield derby on a Friday night.
Has it ever kicked off big time at the derby, the Anglian derby?
Norwich fans dancing on the roof of the Cobbold Stand. I think there was some footage of Ipswich fans last year smashing up certain bits of the inner sanctum of Carrow Road.
And that is obviously ridiculous and stupid, but you get that with a lot of places, don't you? It's not hardly just an East Anglian Derby Day thing. Anyway,
I don't know. You're not really treating... It's a small minority of people that cause that sort of trouble when you... Should everyone else be punished? The early kick-off time, those really early kick-off times at like, what is it, 12:15?
12 o'clock.
12 o'clock just kills the atmosphere a little bit. Everyone's still sort of Sunday morning waking up a little bit. You're herding people on and off the train. It's that's not how football matches should be watched. And
I think in many ways, the whole herding off the train thing whips people up a little bit more.
Mm.
If you're being herded from Norwich train station by police cordon all the way to Carrow Road, is that not going to...
You treat it like animals, you behave like one.
That's what I was going to say, Dr. Watson. Sam Rogers, when is the right time to start building the team around Dizel? Also, Predator or The Running Man? He says correct answer, The Running Man. I'd probably say Predator to that one, Sam. Any thoughts?
Or what are you
What's
on about?
The Running Man?
That's the... You've not seen The Running Man?
No.
I've not seen either of them.
You haven't seen Predator?
Predator is like the Alien v Predator.
These are two absolutely classic big Arnie films.
I don't know. I've seen either. I'm aware of Predator. Yes. Like the alien with the dreadlocks, right? Yeah.
Absolute classic film. Carl Weathers gets murked.
Right.
Apollo Creed.
What's The Running Man? What's going down in that?
Well, basically, it's in the future, and in the future, the way things are going with TV and society as a whole, basically criminals are captured, put in a maze, and people watch them try to escape while various people are trying to kill them.
Okay.
So you can see that actually happening. But obviously Arnie is wrong, he's been framed.
Is this for people's like viewing pleasure, is it?
Exactly, right. Yeah, I mean you can see that happening. People watch Love Island. Punchy, we've never had words about this actually, but you watch Love Island.
What?
Does he?
Yeah.
Do you?
I did, I've watched it. I watched it for the first time last summer.
How did you know? I saw some kind of mention of it somewhere.
Yeah.
I'll tell you where you saw
it.
You saw it in the bio section of Kings of
Alien. Right, that's where I saw it. That's exactly where I saw it.
I needed to get it off my chest, so I snuck it in there. I didn't think either of you would read it.
Yeah.
But
if
you look in the bio section of Kings of Anglia, you'll learn something about me.
Yeah. But not too far away, seeing criminals murdered on the run, live on air, I'm sure. People will watch that. Celebrities even, that'd be tremendous.
Hunger Games type vibe.
Exactly.
Right.
So the answer for my money, the answer there is Predator. Neither of these two watched it. Throw themselves down big time. But when is the right time to start building the team around Dizel?
Dizel, what's going to happen with
Andre
Dizel?
I don't know. I maintain I still haven't seen enough of Andre Dizel to know that
I don't think
he's the man to build a team around. He's clearly a very, very talented young man with a good head and a good support network on his shoulders, but I don't know.
I have my concerns that he may be one increasingly that they will cash in on. I think if he was having regular game time, I'd have no doubt that Andre Dizel would stay here because I think he's got, you know, his dad wants him to be here. He knows the importance of game time at a young age, but he's not getting that at the moment. And combination of him needing game time to develop and Ipswich probably needing to raise a few funds, I'm a bit concerned that a big club might think that a few million is a very low risk strategy with him, given his England background. But a little bit surprised because I thought he'd be right up Mr. Lambert Street with his passing game. But we're not seeing him at the moment.
Building a team around a 19-year-old doesn't really happen either. Mm. That's a big ask to do that.
Final question. The Pin has asked two questions, which I think are very fitting to end mailbag with because they're kind of Mark's big question style. Obviously, people picking up on that, they love it. We're only going to answer one of these, so which ones you're going to pick, guys? First one, it's about time to reflect on the past since we're about to embark on a new era in League One. So, do you remember your first ever kiss? Second question, as Andy's returning from a break, can you recall your worst ever holiday abroad? So which one are we going to answer? Worst holiday abroad or first kiss? The choice is yours, gentlemen.
First kiss.
I don't actually know. I can't give you an exact scenario for the first kiss thing.
You can't?
I can tell you.
Michelle Rowe, I hope you're out there. Hope you're doing well.
Michelle who?
Michelle Rowe.
Michelle Rowe.
She from school?
Back in the day. Of course she was from school. Yeah, I was about seven.
Talk us through Michelle.
Well, I don't know. I think, I obviously when you're a lad growing up, there's very much, there's phases, isn't there? You go through that phase where girls are abhorrent and icky. And you
haven't
been seen with them. That's the correct term, isn't it, for a child? I went on to phase two. Perhaps earlier than other lads.
Very advanced.
The girls are outstanding and tremendous.
Right.
And I want to spend time with them. So my first kiss, I think I was about 7 or 8, Michelle Rowe. I have no idea what she's doing now. I hope she's happy.
If you're listening, Michelle.
Yeah, do get in touch.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, that would be lovely.
So it looks like we're answering the first kiss then.
I think it was a girl called Samantha from memory. I can't remember now. That was probably sort of Is it primary school? That would have been early days.
Yeah. I can't remember any at primary school. I can only remember
Kiss Chase. In Kiss Chase,
you
wanted to get away. That was, you were trying hard.
Also, is Kiss Chase still allowed in these days of Me Too and whatnot?
We were banned from playing Bulldog at school.
Yes, so were we.
But we reinvented it as French Poodle. Very similar rules.
More just so you can say we're not playing ball.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
Less aggressive?
No,
not
really.
Sounds like it's less aggressive.
Yeah. Our school was so dumb as well. They St John's in Ipswich, big shout out. they stopped us playing football with footballs, so we started playing with stones.
Like a lot safer.
Yeah. Just, come
we
on.
Played a lot of sort of coke can football in the playground.
You did a lot of coke at school.
Yeah, loads.
Essex.
Loads of that. That's
you
how
were in Essex after all.
So there was a phase where we went through, you know, like the wire fencing that you would kind of break a piece of that off, form it into like a little triangle shape, and then use an elastic band to kind of as a weapon.
Growing up in Essex,
things you do as kids is.
Did you ever carry a shank, Stu, in Essex?
Yeah, that's how it was. Yeah,
absolutely.
The boy that nearly went to grammar school then was getting
on the mean streets. The mean streets of Bwaintwy. So we've not really, I suppose, I've answered that. So let's move on. I do have an apology to make before we wrap this up. Last week I said that the offer of a signed verdict wasn't apparently enough to get loads of 5-star reviews on iTunes. I refreshed my phone shortly after that. And it turns out we'd had absolutely bloody loads of 5-star iPhones reviews, iTunes reviews. So someone needs to get a signed verdict. I just want to shout all these people out because they responded.
We need the address.
In full, absolutely. So since the appeal for 5-star reviews, and obviously don't stop, we do still need more. They do help us in our visibility on the iTunes chart. I think we're just behind. If you type in Kings in iTunes pods now, we're only but now behind the Kings of Leon podcast. So we're living in pretty rarefied air then.
What are they doing on a podcast?
No idea.
Are they talking or just
sitting? I don't know if it's them. It's probably someone talking about them, is it?
We should be. If it's not them themselves, we should be above that.
Whatever it is, ours is better. So Mark Page, ITFC, Brian Wren, friend of the show, Sega Zombie, Dave Bellingham, Sega Zombie.
Nice.
I assume that's a reference to us talking about Sega. Miss Maycock 84. Tractor Boy 77, he wants to know, does he get a signed copy of the verdict? So we'll have to let us know, Tractor Boy 77, if you can send us an email or contact us on Twitter. Stewie will sign a verdict.
I think we should not give the verdict away. We need to get some pictures printed off of Stu.
Some glossy. David Brent style.
Some modelling pictures. I will do the back of the chair Brent pose.
That's how you sit anyway.
Vogue.
That's how you sit anyway. Bigfoot Blue, The Purple Fuzz, and TG Lewis, all leaving us 5-star reviews on iTunes.
Amazing, mate. The Purple Fuzz.
He says, Purple Fuzz, by the way, he says, always good to hear the dulcet tones of Mark, Hutch and Steve and get the inside news on all things blue.
Good. Also, while we're on the subject of people leaving comments, what happened to Tiny Little Melon Man?
Yeah, we kind of lost him, haven't we?
I'm a bit worried that because we said that name in that way that he's left
he
us.
Was, he was a little melon man, though.
On this note as well, Hutchie, this is very important. I think, and you're the man for this job, I think we need an official list of friends of the show.
Okay.
You know, like teams have halls of fame.
Yep.
I think we ought to come up with maybe a 5 or 10 to begin with. Official friends of the show. They
Let's start with, start with five. Let's start this with, is an exclusive club.
Let's drop this next week.
I feel like we throw these out willy-nilly.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know exactly what they'll benefit from. I mean, obviously, they will get special privileges. We need to decide on those. But I think it's important there's an official list, like Hall of Fame.
Right.
We could go on like an end of season holiday, couldn't we? Like,
yes.
All, everyone's invited.
KOA on tour.
Or at least
you know,
all
we should
down
go.
The pub or something.
We should go to Dusseldorf.
Yeah? That friendly's got to be back on again now, hasn't it? Fortunately.
It sounds like there's something going on there.
Yeah.
I would have said Amsterdam, but I know Dusseldorf has the town link. Anyway.
I'd be up for the dam.
Absolutely. We love the dam. And do you know who we could meet in Amsterdam? Brown Penis. He's from the Netherlands, so I'm sure he'd be there. He'd give us the tour.
Mm.
Penis would show us around. Good lad he is. Boys, we've spent enough time discussing this football town, Ipswich Town nonsense.
Yep.
Stewie's got a lot of very important stuff to do today. Without further ado, let's get you back to that. Stewie, Hutchie, you're off to watch the under-23s. Who are they playing?
That's also very, very important.
It's not as important as what Stewie's doing. You'll find out.
Wrap up. Put a coat on, friend.
Yeah. Have you got a hat?
Smell
you got
on
a coat? Have you got a hat?
No.
You'll catch a death.
I'm going to go home and get changed on the way, actually, because I don't want to wear these nice shoes in what is essentially a muddy field on a Monday lunchtime.
Boys,
that would be silly.
Boys. Any other business before we move on? Before we get going?
No other business.
no other business.
Excellent. It's been excellent to have you with us. As usual, please hit subscribe. Subscribe to This Nonsense every week on your podcast provider. Leave us a 5-star iTunes review and also follow us on all our social media. You'll see behind the scenes stuff, including that letter that Lambo gave to Hutchie, promising his watch if and when Tam go down. That's Kings of Anglia on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram.
All the big ones.
All the big ones. We're all over everything.
Are we on MySpace?
I don't think we are. Or Friends Reunited, we'll have to sort that out.
LinkedIn?
Maybe, yeah.
You could go on LinkedIn for the serious listener.
We need to go on the Snapchat, don't we? That's where all the kids are, so to speak.
We're too old for Snapchat.
Yeah, I haven't got time.
Have we got time for one other thing, actually?
Well, of course
we have. Have you got other business?
There is other business.
Got other business.
Well, you've just reminded me, because you said about Snapchat, and Snapchat is essentially, I've never been on Snapchat, but it's been explained to me that that's what where people send pictures of their body parts to other people.
It depends how you approach their social media.
That's what I've been told it is. Yeah. Are we aware of?
Where
are we going? Just jogged my memory.
Where are we going?
Naked Martin on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
We need to have a chat about Naked. Is it Naked? Is it Martin?
I think it's Martin. Yeah.
It's calling Martin. I showed this to you yesterday, didn't I? Somebody, whoever did this, included me. Brought this to my attention on Twitter. There's a chap who is, I don't know how old he is. He's an older man.
Early 60s.
Yeah. Who he's on Twitter, he's called Naked Martin, I believe, and he basically records videos of himself dancing naked to various football clubs' theme tunes. And he's done one for the Ipswich Ebenezer...
Jeremiah Brown
song, holding a little Ipswich Town badge on a piece of paper, sort of just windmilling and dancing around. And
just windmilling.
Yeah, so that's a thing, and it's led to people saying, because of my naked promise of staying up, would there be any sort of chance of a collaboration? Now Martin said he's up for it.
Of course he is.
I just want to make clear I'm not up for that collaboration. This has escalated far too much already.
You've only got yourself to blame.
Absolutely, yeah. And when you say naked, I mean, you kind of think social media might be a bit sensitive, but no, he's fully chapping the breeze.
The meat and two veg are
absolutely fully on display. So yeah, treat yourself to that, Stewie. Thanks for bringing that up. Any other business, boys, before we go? That's it, I'm assuming.
Still no other business.
Let's get to work. Thanks for joining us, as ever, and we'll see you again next week.